I know you're going to think, he's from Albert Lea. Why does he sound like an Aussie? That's the mystery question of the day. But we've lived in Australia for 16 years this November. And if any of you have ever come from the Midwest and you move to the South and you find yourself saying, y'all, you're thinking, where did that come from? I know, Pastor, you went to Rhema. I thought you did. Self-taught? And by the Lord, of course, and the Holy Spirit. Well, when he said, I wish I had some of those attributes or qualities, I'm sitting there thinking, so it's not like let's stroke each other's back, but in all truthfulness, I love his pastor's heart. You know, when you travel, and like I've been on kind of a bit of a whirlwind since I got in on Tuesday, you're going hard and meeting people and preaching and doing all these things, and you go, and then you're in church, you're thinking, man, wouldn't it be nice just to sit and receive? And it's like, well, duh, you can. You're in church. Because sometimes when you're speaking, you're so focused on getting ready to preach the word. But I thought, you know what? I can take a moment and just receive. And so when pastor comes up, he's got such a pastor's heart, doesn't he? He starts praying, and he's praying out everything that comforts you and encourages you and builds you up. And it's like, yeah, I'm in on this too. I'll take it. So I got my little dose to get me ready to go. So thank you for that. Amen? And, of course, the reason we're here is not about pastor and it's not about me. It's about what is about him, but it's about you too. We know it's all about Jesus. That's why we got a cross. Is there a cross out there? I forgot to look. Forget about the cross. Does anybody have a cross here? Of course, it can't have Jesus hanging on it. Now, you know that because we're Pentecostal. Does anybody have one with Jesus hanging on it? No. Now, this is a good one. Of course, we got the cross on us. That's more spiritual than hanging on a building anyway. Isn't that right? But no, the reality is it is about you. In preparation for today, we do come to exalt Jesus, but I'm believing today that this message, this time of worship today that was done so admirably with the team, and I believe there's a word for you guys today because I really believe God has a plan for your life and he wants to do things for you, and that's what I'm going to be talking about today is growing in our gifting. So if you want to write that down, or if you have a smartphone, it makes you look very smart, so that's cool too. If you got a flip phone, it makes you look pretty cool also. But I just want to encourage you to take some notes, all right? But before we do that, let's pray, and then we'll commence with a story. Father, I thank you for everyone who's come here this morning. And yes, we do know it's all because of Jesus. But Father, it's also about people. God, you love people. You sent your son Jesus because of people. Your heart breathes humanity. It's all about humanity. You want to see them reached. You want to see them touched. You want to see them transformed. You want to see them empowered. You want to see them gifted and released into all that they're called to. Because the more we get an understanding and a revelation of who you are, we understand that we're part of you and there's something you want to do in us and through us to make a difference in this earth. So we thank you in advance for all that you'll do. In Jesus' name, and if you're comfortable with it, say, amen. Amen. So be it. So I want to talk today about growing in your gifting. And you know, when I was putting this message together, I was reflecting on my own personal life, as we all do. You know, when you go to your time of devotion, you're always wanting to connect with heaven and allow the Holy Spirit to minister to you and all these things. But then you like to do self-reflection if you're like me. You like to think of things that you can do to be changed, to be inspired, to be stirred, to become more like him. And ultimately, it's because we want a good life, but in the heart of hearts, we want to help be a witness to others, make a difference for others. And so, you know, my wife and I teach in the Bible College. We're a part of a church in Australia. And in fact, the reason we're by way of Australia, born and raised in Albert Lea. My wife was born and raised in just outside of Seattle, Washington. But we're part of a church called Hillsong Church. And some of you, well, our first song today, tell me the name of the song again. My wife always has to tell me. You'll Come. And so it was a beautiful song. And of course, the minute I heard it, I knew exactly because we sing a lot of Hillsong music. It's not all we sing, but a lot of it. And of course, Hillsong music is impacting the earth. And I think, have anybody here heard of Hillsong? Hillsong music? Well, wouldn't want to be presumptuous. But yeah, it is very impacting. But my wife and I teach full-time in the Bible College. But about a year ago, the pastors came up to us and said, Tom and Angela, we want you to take on Hillsong Macquarie. You see, Sydney is a city of about 8 million people, so it's a big city. So if you just think practically, if you had a church in one location, it's pretty difficult to reach a city of 8 million. They're just not going to come to your location. So Pastor Brian realized we need several locations. So we have, I think, 16 locations around the city. So basically, it's like having a McDonald's. You know, you think of Minneapolis, I would think they would have at least 16 McDonald's, wouldn't they? Yeah, so you just can go to the local McDonald's. Of course, we don't eat McDonald's here, I know that. Unfortunately, I did this morning for breakfast. Don't judge me. I know, it's not good. I know. I wanted one of those steak bagels, with steak and egg bagels. And my wife tells me every time, honey, you don't eat that. It's bad for you. And it is very true. But man, I like it every once in a while because you can't get them in Australia. So they asked us to take on Hillsong Macquarie. It's one of the services throughout the city. But here's the thing I was dealing with, because I'm talking about growing in your gifting. Now, this doesn't take rocket science here. You don't have to pray and fast for 20 hours to try to work this one out. You just think practicality. I'm thinking, and I teach in a Bible college. It's called Hillsong International Leadership Bible College, or Hillsong International Leadership College, sorry. I added the Bible part. And so you're going to have people coming internationally. You know, normally if you put international on something, that's what it's going to become, because God will give you what you believe for. But because it's an international college, people are coming from all over the world to be equipped to be leaders, because it's Hillsong International Leadership College, right? You're thinking, this is very elementary. I'm going to go somewhere with it. That's why I need you with me. And so we got people coming from all over the world. In fact, we have over 65 nations of the world represented in Hillsong College. And so, but the reality is they're paying money to be there because it's a college. It's not church. It's a college. So they're paying a fee to be there. So I realize that if I'm going to help them, I need to be schooled and educated and trained and equipped to bring something to them. But it's not church first in the college setting. It's college first. So I have to think leadership. But you see, when we took on Hillsong Macquarie, it's a church. So I can't think leadership. Number one, the people aren't paying money to be there, so I can't boss them around. When they pay money to be there, they're saying, we're here to be trained, so train us. We say, that's right. All right, you do this, you do that, you do that. We're training you. We're equipping you. But you don't come into a church setting and say, yo, I'm in charge, do this. They'll say, yo, I'm out of here. And so I realized as we took on Macquarie, it's not leadership. It's community. And you see, and that's what we are here today. We're community. Why do you sense a belonging? Why do you sense family? Why do you sense community? Because your pastors strategically plan it that way. And so I begin to realize, Lord, I need help. I need to grow in my gifting. Because I got to learn how to think leadership in college and think community in the church setting. But yet the church needs leadership and the college needs community. But Lord, you're going to need to help me because I don't quite know how to do it. And so he began to show me how to do it. And these are some of the thoughts I want to give you today. So I'm going to come from the angle of community. And of course, you know why I'm doing that, don't you? Because we are what? Yeah, a church. We're a community. We're family. A sense of belonging. But in that, I also want to extract some leadership in it. Because I want to challenge you in your gifting. Just like, I'm sorry, what was your name? Marissa. Larissa. So I love seeing Larissa up there leading worship today. But you know the reality is? There's so much more in Larissa. See, a lot of you, are you guys together? There's nothing in prophetic or anything, so I'm not trying to get too spiritual. I just don't know you, so I got to ask. And the Lord didn't say anything. So are you the ones getting married?
Yeah.
Oh, cool. You got good taste, mate. And she's anointed too, man. It helps makes all the better. But, and so Larissa and Zach. So, you know, Zach's going to be impressed. That's why he's engaged to her, and he loves to see her up there leading worship. And inside, like I would do, I think, man, that's my fiance. Thank God I'm marrying her. She's such a blessing in so many ways. And you're thinking that. But you know the reality is? There's so much more gifting on her life. and men will hold us. I'm not saying that your way. Men will hold people back because they'll be too in awe of the gifting they operate in, when yet there's so much more. And so that's the things I want to talk about today, all right? You good for it? All right, so turn with me, if you will, over to 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. Hey, by the way, just as a commercial break while we're turning over there, the corn's looking good, isn't it? Pretty impressive. I always know when we lived here, it was always knee-high by the 4th of July. Man, it's at least chest-high by the 20th of July, or whatever the date is, 13th, I guess it is. So corn's going well, isn't it, guys? County's looking healthy, they're strong. I think this is a good place to live. Roads are good. There's not a lot of potholes. It's all happening. I like it. I drove up from Owatonna. I thought, man, America's a blessed place, isn't it? We just take things for granted. But, you know, I travel different parts of the world, and the roads are always nice and wide and potholeless. You know, you just don't know what you're going to come up against. But, man, you can just about sleep on 14. Just about. Because you got the little rivets in the middle to let you know if you're getting over. So when you go to pass someone, you almost feel convicted. Like, am I doing something wrong, Lord? Am I not allowed to pass? The guy's only going 45. But anyway, let's look at 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 7. It's talking about serving the Lord's glory. It says here, "But the end of all things is at hand. Therefore be serious and watchful in your prayers. And above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. As each one has received a gift, minister to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God." So we can see the scriptures encouraging us here to be watchful in prayer. It's telling us to be fervent in our love for one another. It's talking about us covering people in love. And then it begins to talk about receive a gift, which we've all been given, and minister with that gift, and understand that as a good steward, we use it with the manifold grace of God working through our lives. So that gives me the impression there's more that God wants to do in our life. Number one, you need to realize you're gifted. And see, some of you are here today and you think, yeah, but you don't know my life. You don't know what I've been through. You know what? Join the crowd. We've all had issues. We've all had challenges. We're all a work in progress. None of us has arrived. Sometimes we put on a pretty dress or a pretty suit and come in with a nice smile like it's all together. But really the reality is without Jesus, we are a hopeless wreck. And we all come by the cross the same way, humbly. Before the cross. And so we're just a work in progress. But I tell you what, there's a manifold grace gifting that's put on you in my life that can enable us to do so much more. So don't allow yourselves, partners, don't put your partners in boxes and say they've always been this way, they'll never change. Okay, well, that's what you're going to have. Isn't that wonderful to be married? You Google-eyed over someone and you're just going to, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, till death do we part. You're Google-eyed, you're kissing, you're loving in front of everybody and doing all these wonderful things. And you take a few knocks in life along the way and then all you do is curse each other. You're such an idiot. You never amount to anything. Why do you keep doing this? Why do you keep doing wrong? No, we got to learn to put that mouth in check and learn to speak right things. Amen? No, I'm not talking about anyone specifically, so just smile. Nobody know who it is. It's not you guys anyway. This place is the place. Now, when you come to, well, I put in Dodge Center. I knew it was Highway 14, but you always make sure. So this morning, I just put in Dodge Center, Owatonna to Dodge Center. And it said, travel time, 10 hours and 26 minutes, but with present traffic, 10 hours and 31 minutes. I thought, oh, man, this must not be the right city. They had me going to Nebraska. I said, ah, yeah, city, that's right, Dodge City. Oh, I turned it around, sorry. So were you in Dodge Center? Is that where we're at? Oh, glory, good to know where you're at. Point number one, know where you're at. No, just kidding. So then I put in Dodge Center. And then it said 26 minutes, but with present traffic, 25 minutes. So not bad. Not bad. I thought, yeah, that's a lot better. But now I don't know where I was going to go with that. Can anyone help me? What were we talking about again? Please help me. I'm going to look silly. Sorry? All right. Cool. Can anybody help me? All right. Yeah, that's the best place to go back to. So we'll start there. But I was going to say something about it, but we'll come back to it, all right? We'll just blame that on jet lag. So what I want to talk about is, number one, am I reading my Bible for information or transformation? Am I reading my Bible for information or transformation? Remember, we're talking about gifting now. Now, you can stay where you're at. You can continually, consistently go the way you are. And some of you might say, well, I'm happy. It's all good. God's good. Life's good. But what if God wanted you to grow in your gifting because he's getting ready to give you something else? Like in my case, Bible college teaching, but now I'm doing community church. What if God wants to add to your life, but you're trying to hold back? What if there's more for your life? But you say, yeah, but I'm comfortable. I'm American. I've got 31 flavors of ice cream. I can get Froyo and put almonds on it, coconut flakes. They've even got peanut butter sauce. Man, I'm set. Well, why would I be concerned about anything else? But what if God wanted to add to your life? What if there was more that God wanted to do in you to impact others? What if 3 weeks from today, this building was full, because people saw the manifested grace of God on your life, and it wasn't your preaching that brought them here. It was the conviction that came over them because of the love that emanated from you and covered up the wrongdoings of their life. And they said, man, I don't know what's on their life, but I got to get around them more. I just need to follow them. I'm just going to spy on them. And they see you coming to church on Sunday morning. So the next Sunday, they decide they're just going to sneak on in and slip in the back. And the presence of God touches their life and changes them. And all of a sudden, you begin to realize, wow, surely God is in this house. I knew he was in the house. But now I know he's in the house. The manifested presence of God is changing me, is empowering me, is equipping me. Because see, we get comfortable. I know I'm born and raised in this area. Pretty much have what we need. Sure, the weather can be a bit challenging at times and we whinge about it and causes a bit of rust to get around the wheel wells of the car. That's not cool. I know that. Man, life's tough, isn't it? But you know, the reality is, God wants to do so much more. What if he'd added to you double in a day? Because you're praying, Lord, use me. Lord, touch me. Lord, change me. Lord, show me your grace. Lord, show me your mercy. Lord, show me your heart. And he does, and all of a sudden there's something on your life that's added to you. And you can never be the same again. And you got to do more. But it's not even in the doing, because he does. It's receiving and allowing. Oh, I can't do what I do. I was already full-time. How do you do it? The manifold grace and the gifting that increases on your life as you look to him. See, we get so caught up and so impressed with how busy we are. Yes, the average American, keep an eye on, I'm an American. I live in Australia. Because if I was an Aussie saying it, you have a right to throw darts at me. Well, you probably wouldn't throw darts at me. You'd throw cow pies at me or something. I don't know. But what if God just decides, because you're hungry for it, that you want more, and all of a sudden the more happens. And it totally changes your life. But see, you can't do it. That's why he has to. See, we take pride in the ability to work hard and all that we can do. But what if God was saying there's actually so much more, but you're doing it all, and I get about 10% effort in there. But there's actually 90% more. You're thinking 90% more? Yeah, because it's not you that's going to do it. He's going to do it through you. See, too often we have more confidence in our ability to follow God than in God's faithfulness to do it through us. And then what happens is when you grow in your gifting, then what starts taking place is he actually works through you into others, and then it empowers others to be a part of the team. See, if God's going to increase your life, you normally bring someone into your life. Now, and I'm not talking relationally, marriage and that type of thing. That's all good. But what I mean is that partnership can do so much more. One will put 1,000 to flight. Two can put 10,000 to flight. Where any two or three are gathered, there I am. See, God is into community. God initiated family. Abraham was in the beginning after, of course, he had Adam and Eve. But Abraham, he was known as the father of faith. Why? Because God's into family. God's into community. And if he's going to increase your life, he adds people into your life. So when my life changed with taking on two responsibilities, I had to learn how to equip people and empower people and to release people into their callings. So me stepping into my place of obedience released other people into their place of obedience. What if you took on that thing that's burning inside of you to start an organization, start a company, start a business, start something, and because of your obedience, it released five or six families into being provided for, and you became a tool, a vessel to be used in your community to help five families, six families. Pretty cool, isn't it? Now you're starting to think kingdom culture. See, kingdom culture is so much bigger than you. We're all part of a culture, a worldview, a beliefs, convictions, all that. But man, could you imagine if we can tap into kingdom culture today? You say, well, what exactly is kingdom culture? It's the way God does things. Takes two fish and five loaves and feeds 5,000 men and 15,000 women and children. That's kingdom culture. You say, I don't have much. Yeah, but what happens when it gets in the hands of God? Yeah, but my gifting is so insignificant. Yeah, but what happens if God breathes on that gifting? His manifold grace touches it because you're asking him to. How many today will say, yeah, I'm a candidate for God to do more through me? Hopefully it's all of us, because it's not just about us. It's for those that God wants to reach through us. Amen? Am I reading the Bible for information or transformation? Don't just read it, tick the box. Now, I read YouVersion. On the smartphones, you can get YouVersion Bible out of Oklahoma City, Craig Gushell's church. And it's wonderful. And in there, you can choose all kinds of devotions. You can do, 30-day devotions, 7-day devotion, 1-day devotions, year devotions. You can do Joyce Meyer. You can do T.D. Jakes. You can do Joseph Prince. You can just go down the list. There's just so many options, so much available to you. And I'm just happen to be doing a devotion right now by Joyce Meyer and Joseph Prince. Now, some people have, give bad raps towards different people, but don't listen to everything you hear. Check it out yourself. But I got two different types of teaching. Because, see, I'm trying to go broader. Because I want to grow my gifting. I don't want to stay in my little tunnel. I'm a Kenneth Hagin follower. That's all I do. Kenneth Hagin, that's it. Kenneth Hagin's wonderful. But the broader you can go, the wider you go, the more you can eat, the more people you can impact. True? You need to learn to be wide-read. And so when I do my devotion, then at the end of it, it lets you tick the little thing, and then it ticks it off and it tells you what percentage you're up to. Now, if I'm just reading my devotion for information, will that bring about transformation? Probably not. Man, you'd be better off having 5 minutes of transformation than an hour of information. All right, number two. Is there anything going on in my life privately that if it becomes public would cause shame for me, my family, or my church? Is there anything? Again, we're not doing confessions here, so everybody can relax. It's just for you to do self-assessment. Is there anything going on in my life privately right now that if it was brought into the open, if it was exposed, would bring shame to myself, my family, the church? And if your answer inside is, we're not going to ask anybody, but if your answer is yes, that is the case with me. And the reality is, it's probably true in any setting of people, because pornography is at such a rampant pace today. We're not going to get into all of it today, but there's a large percentage of people on pornography today? Does it blow you away to know? I teach in a Bible college. I know when I talk to these young men, the majority of them are hooked on pornography. And see, a lot of them come from single-parent homes, and they've not had a father figure in the home. So, if, again, talking about growing in your gifting, learning how to help people, I realize if I go too hard on them, they can't handle the pressure because they've been raised in a single-parent home. But God designed for a man and a woman to raise the children. They get the proper balance. But the reality is it's not going to happen. So let's not shoot them. Let's not persecute them. Let's not put them down. It's unfortunate, but it's where it's at. So how do I, as a communicator, as a leader, how do I learn how to bring them on the journey, realizing that I got to do it effectively, wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove, to get them onto that journey where they need to go? Well, you need the help of the Lord, don't you? You got to get God. So there's all these young men and women too, not excluded. They're hooked on pornography. So you can expose them and shame them, but have you helped them? You feel like a person of authority. Wow, I smoked a few things out and pulled out the holsters and the guns and shot a few people down, and bless God, there's a new sheriff in town. Now you're an idiot. Sorry, I forgot we're in church. That probably wasn't the best thing to say, was it? Idiot's probably not good in church. Okay, cool. I forgot we're in Dodge Center. Call it like it is. But you got to help these people. You know, you can be busy talking about all the problems, but why don't you become the solution? Don't ever be known for what you're against. Always be known for what you're for. Man, you get around people and they're telling you all the problems in the church and all the bad things in America. I think America is a great country. Does it have problems? Yeah, but I focus on how we can bring solutions. Because, man, if you get on the problem road, you're going to go for the next 2 hours. You're not going to accomplish anything. You're just going to feel bad, discouraged, distraught, and hopeless. But it's one thing to know what's wrong, but then pray about and strategize and think of ways to bring in solutions and be a solution to the problem. Yeah, but I don't amount to much. I'm one. Yeah, but what happens if you grow in your gifting? Maybe that one can make a difference because every one counts. So, is there things? We're right here in 1 Peter. Is everybody still good? Yep. Now, you're very quiet, but are you just listening, right? Am I doing all right so far? So I can carry on a little longer? What time do we stop, by the way? No, I won't do that. You normally stop at 11 straight on, don't you? You're being too pastorally nice. No, I respect people's seat of endurance. I'm not a long-winded preacher. So just help me, and that's where I'll stop. Stop at 11? Or 10-2? 5-2? 11-15. I'm going to listen to you because you've got a seat of endurance longer than most people. You would stay in church all day, but I'll offend the rest, see? But I guess we're going to shoot to be done by 11, okay? But look what it says here in James chapter 5. And look what it says in verse 16. James 5:16 says, "Confess your trespasses one to another and pray for one another, that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of righteous avail much." So see, we need to pray for people. We need to help people. Too often people are afraid to share their faults or shortcomings for what will happen as a result. But why don't we be the Christians that people feel that they can be vulnerable to if they are compromised? Because they know that you're going to cover them. You're going to help them. You're going to encourage them. Some people say, well, why wouldn't the person just raise his hand and say, "I need help, I've got something wrong"? Because he knows what the church does. Shoots them. But thank God we get to cover them. Not do away with it. Not act as if it doesn't exist. No, love covers. It still has to deal with it. Because love doesn't rejoice. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 13:6, love does not rejoice in injustice and unrighteousness, but love rejoices when right and truth prevails. So you cover them, but then you have to let the Spirit of God and your discipline, your counsel, and helping them however God does it, to bring them on the journey. Like I'm talking about these young men in Bible college. How do I take them on a journey to wholeness? Because I'm talking to young men that are called to raise up great churches, but if I don't see the church inside of them, see, I don't look at them, I look through them because of the gifting that's on their life. So when I speak to college students, we're shifting into leadership just for a little bit. When you look at people, you don't see the person. You see the multitudes through them that are going to be touched. So I tell the students all the time, I says, it's not about you right now. It's about those you're going to reach. So why do you come to class on time? Why are you locked in? Why are you taking notes? Why are you plugged in? Why are you focused? Because it isn't about you. It's about those you're going to reach. You're not here for yourself. You're here for those you're called to. Amen? Yeah, absolutely. So we're here for ourselves, but yeah, we're here for so much more. All right, number three. Am I allowing people or circumstances to steal the joy in my life? Am I allowing people or circumstances from stealing the joy in my life? You know, the Bible says the joy of the Lord is your strength, doesn't it? But are you allowing people or circumstances to steal that from you? You know, the Bible says in John 10:10, the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus says, I have come that you might have life and life in abundance. Yeah? That's exactly right. The abundant life. And the abundant life is so much bigger than you. You're blessed to be a blessing. Man, you know what I love to do? I love to do things for people, bless people, with no strings attached. So often we'll do nice things for people, then we'll hand them a track or a card for the church or whatever and say, bless you, have a good day. But really all you're trying to do is you are soliciting for business. But what if we did it just because? And as a result of the just because, it hooked them to want to find out more about Jesus. You know, you've heard it said, go into all the world and preach the gospel, and if necessary, use words. Same difference. What it's saying is blessing with no strings attached. Because, man, when people see something different about your life, well, it's Jesus. But you don't have a big Jesus sign on you. But you see, it's the fruit of the Spirit. And when there's fruit on your life, there's an anointing on it too. Anything that God does carries a tangible anointing. And see, everybody was made in God's image and His likeness. So when they come in contact with God situations, whether they're saved or not, there's still something inside that says, that's something different. That's something different. Don't know what it is, but it's different. Don't know what it is, but it's different. And it compels them. It stirs them. And there's a process that begins to take place. Amen? It's pretty cool to be a Christian. It's pretty powerful to be a part of God's company. There's a whole lot more going on than we realize. But then if we choose to make wrong choices and live a compromised life, it just can't be seen. Because when you lose your joy, you lose your strength. I like what Jerry Savelle says. If the devil can't steal your goods, he can't steal your joy. Yeah. Joy, it's such a powerful thing. Am I allowing people or circumstances to steal my joy in my life? In fact, you know what I've learned from my own self? Now, I'm not suggesting you do this, but I'm just saying from my own life. I love coffee. In fact, on the way over today, I got one. But I was going to get a Starbucks, and then I realized Sunday morning, 8:45, there's a lot of caffeine freaks in Owatonna, so there's going to be a lineup because Starbucks always has a lineup. So I couldn't go for my first choice. So on the way out of town, I just went to whatever, Quick Trip, whatever, and got a coffee there. But I just enjoy coffee. And basically, it's a preacher's drug. That's what it is. We can't do marijuana and cocaine, so we do coffee, caffeine. I'm just telling it like it is. He said, do it straight. You heard him. He said, just tell it straight. That was a leadership statement right there, not a church, all right? Forget, you guys were a leader when I said that, all right? So don't take offense. Learn how to shift back and forth. Some of you are looking at this guy's just... But you know what I do a lot of times? I'll get up in the morning and I'll just say, flesh, you're not having coffee today. And the flesh says, who do you think you are? Well, I'm just letting you know the spirit man's in charge. See, learn to tell yourself no. Why? Because you learn to put your flesh under. So then you don't give yourself permission to yell. So you got a habit of yelling at people. But when you learn to tell yourself no to coffee, just figuratively speaking, then when you want to yell, you can't yell because you've learned to tell yourself, no, you can't yell. You're not allowed to yell. You're a believer. You got the fruits of the Spirit in you. You're a witness. You love your family. You love your kids. Why would you yell at them? Can you be angry? Yes. Jesus said be angry and sin not. So anger is not a sin. Man, there's good reason to get angry at people when some of the things they do. But it says be angry and sin not. So what does that mean? Well, don't start doing irrational things towards them. Cursing words over them, doing things, yelling, screaming, provoking. Just get yourself settled because you've learned how to discipline yourself, because when you said no to coffee, you can say no to other things. So, you know, if my flesh, I was at a wedding last night. My brother Tim's youngest son, Ben, got married. So that's the three boys, and I had the privilege of marrying all three of them. So that was it. So now I'm out of business, no more boys. But man, they catered in this beautiful, you know, I think it's Corey's, the restaurant over in Torrey's. Torrey's restaurant in Owatonna. They catered in from Torrey's. Man, they had these beautiful cakes and everything. But you remember, I've learned how to discipline myself. So my flesh wanted three cupcakes. I only allowed it to have two. That's right. That's discipline. That is discipline. That's right. Amen? Nah, I actually had one. I had one. All right, ready for number four? Everybody good? Still happy? Is there anything in my life that God is consistently dealing with that I keep ignoring? Is there anything in my life that God consistently keeps dealing with but I keep ignoring? Maybe to increase in your gifting, something's tied to that. It's not that he's trying to withhold from you. He's trying to add to you. Seems too often people think that God's this mean person in heaven looking to strike you every time you do something wrong. No, Jesus solved that issue. He went to the cross and died for our sins that we could become righteousness in him, be forgiven of our sin, and have a new life in him. So God is not looking to judge people. He was a firm judge in the Old Testament, but in the New Testament, he's a loving father that it says he's given us a better covenant. And therefore, because of what Jesus did on the cross, we can be freed to the fact that he's a good God. He always has been, by the way, but he's a good God and he only does good things. The Bible says in James, every good, acceptable, and perfect thing comes down from the Father of light, in whom there's no variableness, neither shadow of turning. He's a good God. But see, God might be dealing with some things in your life to bring about change or transformation because of the increase of the gifting on your life, so you can grow in your gifting. What is it that he consistently comes to you about? I don't know what it is. Different for every person. And sometimes it's not as much giving something up as it is stepping into that more. You know, for some of you, maybe it's TV's too much of a big deal. I'm not against TV. We watch TV. My wife and daughter are into the Master Chef right now in Australia. Man, the thing goes on forever. I think it'll still be going when we go to heaven. It's like, I don't know when it finishes. And they love it. And I messed up this morning. I got up pretty early. Like I said, I just flew in early this week, so my body's adjusting. But I think I got up at 4:22 was the actual time. And so I just did some devotion and prayer and everything and was ready to go. And then I called her about 10 to 6 or whatever it was, I think. And they were watching MasterChef. And she goes, I hope you know we're putting MasterChef on hold to talk to you. I said, oh, I feel very fortunate. I'll be very careful with my words. And of course, so we talked. And she's just having fun too. And because she likes to have fun also. We think being a Christian should be fun. Amen. And so we're just talking everything. But for example, what if the Lord is saying, just give Master Chef. Man, I wouldn't suggest that, but maybe the Lord could with my wife. That's getting on tough ground there. You know the old saying, happy wife, happy life? Yeah, let the Lord touch that one. But what if he's dealing with your TV program or something? Or for me, I love sport. I love sport. I'll talk about any sport with you. Golf, baseball, football, basketball, whatever you want to talk about. I love it. I'm not too much into netball. That's an Aussie game for the girls, but it's okay. So I don't know anything about that. But I love sport. But you know, sometimes I just have to take myself away from it. Don't allow things to control you. Another one, and I talked about this last time I was here because it just came back to me right now as I'm talking. Finances. In a room this size, there's a fair amount of people that don't have control of finance. You're living a falsified life. You're allowing the crutch called credit to give you a life that doesn't really exist. But the problem is you will pay for it. You may be not paying now, but you will pay for it. And I know for my wife and I, we, other than a home that is positively geared, God just blessed us with a home this year. You know, the Sydney market is enormous. It's like moving from Dodge Center to New York City. The prices will blow your mind. But we were fortunate enough to get into a house. A lot of miracles took place for it. The biggest miracle was, it was called hard work. So what people don't realize is normally your miracle is attached to hard work. You know, sometimes as Christians we think because we pray and fast and trust and rest and we're just going to sit on our blessed assurance and know that God's going to do a miracle. Well, he has to, because you're not doing anything. But wouldn't it be cool if you were the one providing the miracle for people that are praying for miracles? I mean, it's cool to receive a miracle, don't get me wrong. But what if you got a revelation of your life and what you're called to, that when someone was praying, God, we have no food for our family. We're destitute, Lord. We need a miracle. And from the moment they said, amen, you became the so be it. Because you had a supply to give. Because you're a good steward. You control your finances in a good way. You live within your means. So my wife and I, we moved to Australia and we learned to be disciplined with our finance. And so we don't owe anything to anybody. I don't even have a credit card and I travel the world. No, I've got bank cards with money in your account, but I don't own a credit card. People say you can't make it without a credit card. Yeah, it's the credit people that tell you that. But the reason we cut up all our credit cards is because we're going to pay them off and then we're not going to use them because we're not going to be in bondage to credit. Some of you are going to have to say no to credit. Yeah, but I don't want a 46-inch flat screen curvature one. I want to flip the numbers from 46 to 64. That's what the Lord is saying. 64 inch, not 46. And we laugh about it, but that's the reality of most people. Man, the 46 was cool. I mean, that was everything. That was salvation came to my house when I got my 46. But now they got the new curvature 64. And now that's the Lord. And I mean, you got a 10 by 10 room. That's exactly what you need. A screen right here. Causing you to go cross-eyed. But bless God, I can put it on credit, and I'm an American, so I can do it my way. Glory. Then you go down and get your 31 flavors of ice cream. Glory to God. You're living the dream. But you know what I'm saying? Credit is such a lie of the devil. And it starts right at the top of our government. And it's not a political message, but, you know, it starts right at the top and it filters down if you're not careful. And you lose hope because you're trying to work it through yourself. You forgot there's a gifting on your life that's going to take you above these situations. So you can live in the world, but not of the world. You can be affecting the world, but the world's not affecting you. So then you get to a place where you owe no man nothing but to love him. Yeah? Doesn't matter where you're at. Doesn't matter what you're doing. Doesn't matter your situation. If you just begin to trust God, put your hand, take what's in your hand and work hard with it. And if you work hard with your hand, it'll empower your heart so that you can do what's in your heart to do. But it starts with a hand. Hard work. See, a lot of us are stuck in our hand and we're giving up. But if you'd be diligent with what's in your hand, called work or opportunity, whatever it is, it would enable you to do what's in your heart to do. Does that make sense? Because we all have something in our heart to do. There's things in my heart I want to do. Yeah, but what are you doing with what's in your hand? It starts here. Hard work, labor, faithfulness, diligence, consistency, sticking with it, showing up. I'm convinced the reason where we're at today, because we just kept showing up. Not slick, not polished, didn't have any special gifting or anything. But in the 54 years that I've been on this earth, I just keep showing up. Get up, take a shower, start walking. That's half the battle. Problem is most people won't get out of bed. But man, if you just get up, take a shower, and start walking. Where am I going to walk? I don't know, but just start walking. Because at least if you're walking, you can get directed somewhere. But you're sitting in bed, it's not going to happen. Yeah, but I don't have any place to go. Yeah, you do. You got tons of opportunity. Get up, take a shower, start walking. Really? Yeah, that's all you got to do. If you don't have work, get up, take a shower, start walking. Well, where am I going to walk? I don't know. Just start walking. Maybe someone will pick you up and say, where are you headed? That's a good question. Don't know. Where are you going? I'll go with you. Can I work while we go with you? Yeah, I'll give you a day's work. Come on. And that turns into something. I don't know. It's just that practical. What's in your hand? Be faithful with what's in your hand. It'll enable you to fulfill what's in your heart. Yeah? Yeah. Hard work's a blessing. Back when I was growing up in Albert Lea, man, hard work was a blessing. To get a job anywhere was a blessing. It was the Lord. Thank God He's provided. But see, we've come to this place with entitlement. We think that we're owed something. Now, I love what John F. Kennedy says. Ask not what your country can do for you, but what can you do for your country? I like that. Ask not what your church can do for you, but what can you do for your local church? What's in your heart to do? Be faithful what's in your hand. You got a blessed hand that wants to enable you to fulfill what's in your heart. Amen? All right, can we do another one? Who are the people in my life that God has placed around me to reach or invite to church? He said, I don't know any people like that. Let me ask the question again. Who are the people in my life that God has placed around me to reach or invite to church? So I don't have anybody. Shame on you. You're not able to operate in your gifting. Here you are, gifted of God, and you're sitting dormant. Hand. You have no hand. You have no hand. Keep your hand. Your hand's a blessed thing. Your hand's a good thing. Your hand touches people. Your hand encourages people. Your hand massages people. Your hand greets people. Your hand works. You got to keep hand. You got to have hand. You got to have hand in life. Who are the people God's put in your life that you're to impact, encourage, stir, admonish, or invite to church? Who are they? There should be people. You should have people you're working with every day. Back home now, I'm here in America, so it's radical. Boom, boom, boom. You know, I flew on Tuesday night to Minneapolis. Next morning, I stayed with a friend that night. Next morning, I flew to Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Spent 2 days there, but everywhere I was connecting with people, meeting people, touching people, encouraging people. Just staying open, using my hand to be a blessing. It helps me fulfill what's in my heart. Then I got up here, same thing. Ding, ding, ding. But back home, where it's my consistent day in, day out, I've built rapport with every place I go. The grocery stores I frequent, the coffee shops I frequent, whatever I do, wherever I go, I know people by name because I'm building rapport with them. Because my ultimate goal is to be there for them when they have a need. I don't want someone else to be there that's not going to help them. I want to be the one that can invite them to church. We've got a guy that just moved next to us, renter. His name is Brad. Tough guy, you know, he's a mean-looking guy in a good way. You know, he looks like he could bite a Doberman's head off. You know, he's just mean-looking. I like him. He's a cool guy. He doesn't smile much. So for me, it's just bring it on. I like it. I want the challenge, you know. So he normally goes outside. I suppose, I don't know, he's probably got an arrangement with the place he rents. No, we own ours, but they rent the one next to it. And so they probably have an arrangement. He's not allowed to smoke in the house. So he'll go out, you know, and smoke a cigarette or whatever. So whenever I get a chance, so I try to say hi or honk as I'm going by. But he normally doesn't look. But now I got him looking. So I went over, and I always take his bin in and out. See, when it's time for the garbage trucks come around and pick up. I don't know how they do it here. I'm sure it's the same, but certain time of the week. Well, see, I always collect his, take it out to the street. Why am I doing that? Because I want to keep hand in relationships. I want to continue to connect with people everywhere I'm at. Always connecting with people. So the other day, he's out there having his cigarette, and so I'm washing the car, so we kind of casually talk. So you got to choose your moments, too. You can't just come bang on the door and say, I'm here to tell you about Jesus. No, it's just it's casual. It's relatable. It's transparent. It's authentic. It's real. Not, I have to go preach. I have to go preach to someone. No, no. Take a chill pill. Get off the caffeine. Think about them. Not about what you have to do. See, fishermen don't fish the way they want to fish. They think, what are fish going to do? What are their temperaments? What's their movements? What's their personality? How do they do what they do? And then they accommodate towards that so they can catch the fish. Same in life. I don't ever think what I need to do, what I have to do, what I want to do. I'm always thinking, what do they need? When I preach like I am right now, I didn't put together a message. What do I want to preach? What I did is I say, Lord, what do your people need? So you know what I do? I think they live in a rural area, farming community. I start going through all that process because, see, I'm fishing. It's not about me. It's about you. That's why I said in the beginning, it's about you. This message is for you. It's not, I've got to get my points through. I actually have 8 points, but I'm not going to do them all today because I just got to do the ones that are right for you. So everywhere I go, I've got connections in my city. All the restaurants I frequent, I know everybody, not everybody, sorry, but all the main people that are there consistently, the owners, the waitresses, I know them all by name. Every place I go to regular places all the time because I'm building relationships. Of course, it's different than here. You know, we got Daniel's up the road, we got Subway, and we got probably Casey's. We're a little bit more limited, but hey, it's still something, isn't it? Why can't you get to know the clientele at Daniel's? Why can't you get to know the clientele at Casey's? Why can't you get to know the clientele at Subway? Now, don't bash them and overwhelm them with church literature and everything. Just build rapport with them. Because then when they're struggling, they're going to say, that's the guy that's always there. He's so consistent. He's there, he's relevant, he's real, he's transparent, he seems normal. Hey, mate, can you help me? I'm struggling with an area. And don't attack him and don't jump on 15 points of what he needs to do. Listen. Two ears, one mouth. Listen twice as much as you talk. And then they'll tell you stuff they've never told anybody. So here's Mike, Brad, my neighbor. You know, he's a tough nut, hard to crack. But I'm not in a hurry, I got eternity. So we start talking. He goes, and, you know, I don't like when they say, what do you do? Because I don't want to lie, because it's not Christ-like to lie. But the minute you say a preacher, now you just lost it. You're done. Now they treat you like a priest, and they're indifferent, and they try to talk holy with you, but they're just thinking, I can't get away from this guy quick enough. Can't believe I live next door to a priest. You know? That's what happened at the wedding last night. They all thought I was a priest. Not that there's anything wrong with priests, that's what I mean. But then they act different towards you, you know. They have to become spiritual and holy and tell you all the God encounters that they're just lying because they want to make you feel good about yourself. So I had to tell Brad because I couldn't lie. I said, well, my wife and I do humanitarian work in Southeast Asia. We do. That's not a lie. Not the full truth, but it's not a lie either. But then as he kept pressing and stuff, I said, I'm actually a pastor at Hillsong. He goes, just up the road here. I said, yeah, just up the road. And this is Brad, you know, he's not a churchgoer. He goes, yeah, you know what? That guy up there, he's talking about Pastor Brian, that guy up there is a good guy. Man, he's doing a lot of good things for the community. Now he's starting to witness to me, telling me what a wonderful place it is and how wonderful they're doing for the community. And I'm just shut up. I'm not even trying to add to it. Let him go. So finally, after he's done talking about how wonderful, I saw the jumping castles up there and everything. I think I'll bring my kids there sometime. I says, yeah, that's cool. I tell you what, next time they have the jumping castle, of course we have it every week, he just doesn't know that. Next time they have the jumping castle, you want me to let you know? He goes, yeah, I'd like that. Thanks. I want to come take my kids to the jumping castle. Come, maybe I'll come visit your church. Cool. So I didn't jump on it and attack him. I just kind of kept hand. Just kept hand. If you're diligent with your hand, it'll allow you to do what's in your heart. And my heart's to see him saved. And he's one day closer today. Because when I pray, as you do too, God is not a man that he doesn't hear you. He hears your prayer. And some of you, as we close, because we're coming to an end now, some of you have prayed. And you said, God didn't answer my prayer. That's not true. The moment you prayed it, he answered it. But your son, your daughter, your partner is one day closer today. Just continue to confess what the Word says, not what your circumstance is. There's nowhere in the Bible that says, confess your circumstances and it'll come to pass. It says, confess his will. Confess and believe according to his will, his word, and stand in faith. So see, God's not tied to our time. You say, yeah, but they just live like hell their whole life. Well, how do you know that God doesn't slow down time? Because one day with us on earth is 1,000 years with God. How do you not know when they were having that car accident? I'm not talking about anybody specific. But how do you not know when they were having that car accident and it was going to literally take their life? How do you know that God in heaven, like when Joshua prayed for the sun to stop, how do you know, wasn't it Joshua? Said to make sure. How do you know that God didn't slow down that accident and kind of cause slow motion to take place so that they could get a hold of their senses and cry out to God to save them in a split second? And they come to the ground and boom, they step into eternity. But eternity for them was heaven. See, we just don't know how things work. All I know is the God we serve is looking for every way possible to reach people. He will move heaven and earth to reach one person. Yeah? He will move heaven and earth to reach people. He is in the business of reaching people. And that's what we're in the business of too. Amen? Let's pray. Can everyone just bow their heads, close their eyes? Because I want to pray for people today. You know, when I talked about eternity, I talked about receiving Christ. I talked about knowing our Father. Maybe there's people here right now that, you know, if you were honest with yourself, I'm not talking about anybody else, I'm talking about you personally. That's why I've asked everybody to close their eyes just to be able to reflect. That would be fantastic. Can I have you on the keyboard? Is that all right? Perfect. Yeah, that would be fantastic. Music creates good atmosphere. But you know, you're here and you know in your heart of hearts, man, as I was speaking today or maybe as the worship was happening, you're in the presence of God, you're feeling things, there's emotions, there's thoughts, there's things taking place in you. Your mind is going a mile a minute. Well, you know what? I believe there's one thing that can settle everything, and then from there everything changes. It's having a right relationship with Jesus Christ. You maybe don't understand everything. Maybe it doesn't all make sense to you. Sometimes things don't. I don't know how you can put all the ingredients you put together in a bowl, mix it up, and it can make some of the most incredible desserts. But it just does. And maybe you've got a lot of mixtures and ingredients and things in your mind and emotion and feelings and thoughts and why did this happen? Why did that happen? How did that person leave my life? This and that. It's just going everywhere. But let's just refocus it right back to where it matters. Jesus, the cross. Everything starts at the cross. There's clarity at the cross. There's hope at the cross. There's salvation at the cross. There's healing at the cross. There's deliverance at the cross. There's restoration at the cross. There's something powerful about the cross. And if you're here this morning, you haven't had a revelation of what the cross means to you. The cross is Christ. Where he died, he was buried, and he rose again so that we could have eternal life, hope in him. It's called salvation. You can have a right relationship with God today. It's not because of where you're from, what you've done, who you are. It's everything to do with what he has done. He died for our sins that we might be saved. Every one of us today in this room come by the way of the cross. Everything starts at the cross. And if you're here and you're true to your heart today and you say, you know what? I know in my heart I don't have a revelation of Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I know the cross exists, but I don't have a personal relationship of what it represents at the cross. Well, today you can. The Bible says if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you can have eternal life. You can have hope for tomorrow. You can have hope for a future. Because it's with your heart you believe unto righteousness, and with your mouth you confess and are saved. So if that's you, as Christians are praying quietly, but you're here and you know of your heart, you know in your heart of hearts you're either not saved, or maybe you once prayed to get saved. But man, when I begin to talk about gifting today, growing in your gifting, you think, man, my life's been so focused on me. I just want to get over myself and get into what God's called me to. I want to grow in that gifting. But man, I just need to recommit my life to the Lord. Well, I want to pray for you too. So there's two groups of people. First one, you're going to receive Jesus for the first time as your Lord and Savior. And the second group of people are going to recommit your life to the Lord today. So if that's you, on the count of three, I'm going to simply ask you just to lift your head up, open your eyes, look at me, give me eye contact, and I'll know with that eye contact that's your upraised hand saying, yeah, that's me. Pray for me. We're not going to call you to the front. We're just going to pray for you right where you're at in your seat. So if that's you, on the count of three, just want you to look up, give me eye contact. We'll acknowledge it. One, two, three. Just look up, give me eye contact. Yep, that's me. Good. God bless you. Yeah, God bless you. 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 Bless you. Anyone else? Say, yep, that's me. Just be true. Yep. God bless you. God bless you. Bless you. Just one more time. We're not going to prolong it, but I don't want to miss one person. If you did, look up and give me eye contact. Or you should have, but you haven't yet. Just look up right now. I want to see who I'm praying for. And if you've already done it, just do it again so I can see who you are. We're going to pray for you. Yeah. Amen. 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 Yep. Yep. Wonderful. All right, let's pray. But you know what we're going to do? We're not going to call you forward, so don't worry. But just as everybody stand up. We've been seated for a while. I just want us to stand up and pray. Just change your state, change your position. It just helps you to engage better. Let's all say this together. So many responded. So many. But let's everyone say this together, but especially you that look up, gave me eye contact. Heavenly Father, thank you for saving me. Today, July 13, 2014, I confess with my mouth, Jesus Lord and Savior of my life. From this day forward, something has changed me. Never to be the same again. Because I believe in my heart unto righteousness. And I confess with my mouth unto salvation. Thank you, Jesus. Now, if you're comfortable with it, let's just lift our hands up to heaven and thank the Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. You're so wonderful. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.